Okay, let's see. Good afternoon. Let's see. The thought for today is to move into counting or cardinalities of sets. So this combines the work that we've done with sets with what we've been doing with functions and, in particular, bijections. So I gave the definition briefly before. Let me give it again. Then, actually, I'd like to just try some examples of counting things. And then start proving the surprising facts. The counting of finite things is you know, interesting, this whole subject, but the surprising fact here is what you can get with infinite sets. And so I'll mention some of those facts also. So this is chapter 5, counting and cardinality. In particular, of sets. Okay, let me just start with some notation. Let's see, so I think this is the definition that I gave before, which is that the idea of being equivalent for sets is just given by the existence of a bijection, hence all the work we've been doing with bijection. So if we have two sets, then they're said to be equivalent if there's some bijection between them. And we use these double squiggly lines for the equivalence, or A is equivalent to B. If there is a bijection. So F should be a bijective function. Okay, so examples that we've had before would be that the set, say, 1, 2, 3 is equivalent to the set ABC, right? Because there's a bijection. You just take 1 to 1 to A and 2 to 2 to B and 3 to C, and it's a 1 to 1 and not 2, so those are in bijection. And they have the same number. And so the idea is we're going to use this concept of being in bijection to be a proxy for how many elements they have. So as such, the notation that we'll give as follows. Actually, maybe I have one more name. I'm going to write N sub K for the first K natural numbers. So this in particular here is then N sub 3, right? So it's the first 3 natural numbers. And actually, can anyone guess what the N sub 0 would be? To be consistent with this notation.
Is it, just 0?
Exactly. It's just the empty set. That's right. Just the empty set itself, as Ethan mentioned there in the chat. So this is just the empty set. So it has no elements in it at all. That's the notation that. Okay. The definition that we have is that if A is equivalent to one of these n sub k's. So in other words, if there's a bijection between A and one of these n sub k's, then that's our proxy for being having that many elements. Okay, so we say that. Several things. So one is we're going to use this double bar notation. And we're going to say that it's a K. And the words we'll use are that A has cardinality K. Okay, and it's the same thing as saying that it has K elements in it. Okay, so so for example, the cardinality of the empty set, right, is just going to be zero because that's how many elements it has, right? And the cardinality of this set that we have up above here, A, B, C, is just going to be three because it's got a bijection to the set 1, 2, 3. Okay, so I hope that notation is clear. So it's just a way of, it's a name for counting. And the reason we're being so pedantic about it is we're going to be interested in sets that are not finite. And we're still going to be interested in using this notation for that setting as well. In fact, here's the other notation that we'll write. If A is equivalent to the natural numbers, so there we have a not finite set, an infinite set, then we're going to write the cardinality of A, and we just, there's a name that's been standard for a long time. It's an aleph, not, a little bit hard to draw, but that's supposed to be an aleph, not. And this is the knot there, and that's the owl. Okay, so that's the name that people use for that. And the other one that we will be interested in, that turns out there are lots and lots, is if A has this bijection with the interval from 0 to 1, then we write that the cardinality of A is equal to C. Oh, and I guess the words that I should say are, in this case, we say A is denumerable. Or countably infinite. Okay, and in this case, we say that A has the cardinality of the continuum. That's what the C is for. Is working. Okay, so that's just a bunch of notation. Let's see. So, two other just names that people use. If the set has cardinality, which is either countably infinite or finite, then we say that it's countable. And if it's not finite, if it's size k, then we say that it's finite. And if it's not, then we say that it's infinite. Not surprising. So if the size of A is equal to k, call A finite. And otherwise, infinite. Just so we have names for these things. Okay, so that's a bunch of notation. What I'd like to do next, if there are no questions about the notation, feel free to ask about the notation if you have questions. But otherwise, what I want to do is just play around with counting things that are finite, but that arise from our concepts of functions. And it gives it, I think it's a good exercise both to understand functions better and to get a little practice with this counting. And then we will move on to counting things that are infinite. I see there are questions. What is a glef? All right, so this says A-L-E-P-H is what it's supposed to say. Aleph, it's a character from the Hebrew alphabet which is used. And the about. Oh, you mean this one? Is that the one you're referring to? Yeah, so this one, by definition, That means this. That's the term. That's the symbol that means equivalent to, and that means that there is a bijection between the two sets. Okay, so there are two sets for which there is some bijection, and this is a good example. They're not the same set, but there is a bijection that takes one to A and two to B and three to C. Actually, there are several bijections, but that's one of them. Does that answer your question? So that's a bit.
What's the difference between the equivalent and the three lines equivalent?
So three lines we use to refer to congruence mod some number, which was a different meaning. So this applies to any pair of sets, and it's an equivalence relation, which will actually be a homework problem. But it's but it's a different one. It's on pairs of sets.
How about the normal like equal sign?
Equals would mean that they were the same set. So yeah. So let's try with that. Let me note here. So this is not equal to the set 1, 2, 3 because they have different elements, right? So those are different, but their cardinalities, however, are the same. So this is equal to the cardinality of the set 1, 2, 3. Oh, sorry, is the set 1, 2, 3, but it's also equal to the cardinality of the set ABC. Because that just tells you how many elements it has. Does that answer your question? So equals between sets means that they actually have exactly the same elements, whereas this squiggly equals equivalent simply means they have the same number of elements. And number is tricky to define when you're talking about infinite sets. And therefore, we've defined number by saying that there is a bijection between them.
So it's got the same amount of numbers.
That's right, the same amount of elements in some sense. And the sense in which it's the same amount is that we have a bijection between them two.
One-to-one.
One-to-one.
Yeah.
Correspondence. Correct.
And,
One-to-one and onto. That's right.
Onto. Thank you.
That's correct. Sorry, no, it's correct. So what is the C? The C is, it's just a C, and it stands for continuum. That's why we choose a C. It's just a C. So we just needed names for the sizes of all of these, for all the sizes that we've run into so far. And the sizes we've run into are zero for the empty set, all these natural numbers for finite sets. And then we have the natural numbers themselves, which is bigger than any natural number, and it needed a name. So we chose Aleph, which is standard for reasons that I actually don't quite know. But anyway, that's the, although I can guess. The person who's done a lot of this work is Hebrew. And then this is just a name for the other one, for the 0, 1. And later we'll prove that these are they're not equivalent. So that's why we needed different names for them. It's a shorthand that we'll come up with later. Okay, any other questions about all that notation? All right, so as I said, I think I'm going to try to shift a little bit and just do a little bit of counting of things that are finite now for a bit, and then we'll come back to all this notation and deal with the infinite case, but now we'll have some names for the finite ones. So put these things on the back burner for a second, and we'll come back to them. All right, so some counting of functions. So I'm just going to give a whole bunch of sets and ask you to count the number of elements in them. They're all just finite sets, all right? So if we have start with a set whose size is 3, something like N3, but whatever it is, it's something whose size is 3. So it could be N3, or it could be this ABC set. Then I want to find the following cardinalities. Okay, so let's do some. Let's see. A. Let's take the product. Oops, A cross A. So the product was itself. And B, let's look at the union with a disjoint set of size 2. Let me skip that one. So B, let me take the power set. So remember what that is. That's all the subsets of a set. And C, let me look at the power set of the product, power set of A cross A. I'm just going to list a whole bunch here. D, so now I want to start thinking about relations and functions among them. So what I like is the set of all relations from A to A. F is a relation from A to A. So a lot of this is just remembering all of these different concepts of relations and functions and whatnot. And I just want to count them. All right, and next, E, let me check the equivalence relations. So instead of just all relations, I'm going to restrict to there being equivalence relations. From A to A, or I guess it on A, since equivalence relations are always from a set to itself. And again, I want the cardinality of that set. Let's see, F, the functions from A to N2. Okay, and let's see, number two more that I wanted. So G, the functions from A to A. So that's another special type of relation. Okay, and then the last one is the permutations, so bijections from A to A. Okay, so let's just okay, let's see. So let's just try this. So can anyone identify any of these cardinalities?
Yeah, the cardinality for A cross A would be 9.
Correct. Does everyone see that? So the A, cardinality of A cross A, and this is going to be true in general, that this is the cardinality of A times the cardinality of A. So we can get 9, as you say. Any others?
For B, the cardinality of power set of A is 8, because there are 2 to the cardinality of A's elements.
Correct. Right, and again, as you say, that's going to be the general fact. Okay, let's see, what about any others?
C will be 2 to the 9.
Right, so that one just follows from the two we just did, exactly. So as since we did them in general, so this is the cardinality of the power set of A cross A, and you'll see why I put that one in a second. So it's 2 to the 9. All right, So for this one, does anyone remember what the definition of a relation from A to A is?
Yeah, it's a set of pairs such that X is in A, and then Y is in this case, also A.
Correct, right. So this F, and so that makes it a subset of all of those pairs, right?
Is it also 9?
So
is it?
This is 9.
Or is it?
Right?
Yeah.
But we're counting subsets. So how many subsets are there?
0 to 9.
Two to the ninth, right? Because we're looking at all the subsets of a set of size 9. So it's exactly the same as C. Right? And it's in fact exactly the same set as C because it's exactly all the subsets of A cross A. Right, because a relation is simply a subset of the product. So a subset of A cross A is the same as a relation.
Professor?
Mm-hmm.
Since F is a subset of the cross product of A on an A, mm-hmm. Couldn't F have less than 512 elements?
Yes, F can have less. F can have any number up to 9. In fact, F has at most 9. But the number of possible, so yeah, you have to kind of keep track of what we're counting here. The number of possible relations, I claim, is 512. So there's one relation which is just the identity relation. There's a relation which is the empty relation. Each relation has at most 9 elements. But the number of different relations is 512. Did that make sense? So what I'm trying to do here is count all the possible relations.
Oh, I see.
So there are 512 possible relations, each one of which is much smaller than that. Okay.
Is E the same thing? Or?
Okay, so E is a little bit different because here we have the requirement that it be an equivalence relation. Remember, not all relations are equivalence relations. So some of those relations will be equivalence relations and some will not be. So this one's a bit trickier. We had an equivalent way of identifying equivalence relations. And do people remember what that was? So a relation is just a subset of X cross X, but an equivalence relation, we also had a way of understanding it.
Is it like the two have to be the same? So like A is in A and A is also in A, the set, or?
Yeah, that's right. There are those three restrictions that make it an equivalence relation, right? Reflexive, symmetric, transitive, yeah. Right? That's right. Those are the three things we need. And one of them is one you were just mentioning, correct? But then we had a second way of doing it, and that was a partitions. And so it's a little bit bigger than 3, but 3 is a good start, right? So, for me, the easiest is to look at partitions. So, okay. So let's just try looking at some partitions. So this is going to be the same as the cardinality of the set of partitions of the set 1, 2, 3. Okay, and so someone suggested there are three of them. There are actually a couple more, so but that's close. So the number of partitions, so we can just start running down partitions. So we have these three elements, and to partition them means that we break them up into pieces, right? So we could have one piece, or we could have two pieces, and there's one way to do that, another way to do that, another way to do that, or we could have three pieces, right? Those are the three ways to do, those are the three size distributions. And that's why three is a good guess. But notice that there's, that if one and two are together, that's different from two and three being together. Okay, so there are three partitions like that. So if I just put it down, so the partitions look like, well, there's one which is just a 1, 2, 3. And then there's the one that's got 1, 2, and then 3 separate. And then there's the one that's got 1, 3, and then 2 separate. Oops. And then there's the one that's got 1, 2, 3, and then 1 separate. And then there's one more, which is where they're all separate. Lots and lots of braces in this equation. So there's five different partitions. So as someone pointed out, there are three kinds of partitions, but 1, 2 is the same as 2, 1. That's correct, because these are sets, and that's right. And so the order does not matter. That's correct. So 1, 2, and 2, 1 are the same. So when we're looking at partitions, So it's just which we put together. Okay, so that one's a little tricky, and that requires remembering that equivalence that we had between the equivalence relations and partitions of a set. Okay, so any question about E? That's one of that's the trickiest one we've run into so far. Okay, what about F? So now what we're trying to do is count the functions that take A and provide the. So remember what N1, N2 is. I just introduced that, so I should remind you. So this is the set. Just it's got two elements, 1 and 2. And we're trying to figure out how many functions there are from A to 1, 2. Close. So how do you get 6 is actually the answer to another one, not this one though. So how many choices are there for the A? Two, exactly. The A has to go either to 1 or 2, right? Because it's a function. And what about the B?
Also two,
right? It doesn't care what value A had. It just gets, it could be the same, it could be different, doesn't matter. So there are 2 for this one and 2 for that. It just doesn't see the previous one. And then also for the last one. So then how many are there overall? Oh, I see, that's where you got 6. Yeah, but what are you supposed to do with those 3 2s?
Subtract So would there be eight?
Yeah, there are eight. You multiply them. That's right. Yeah, that's right. Now I see where you got it. Okay, right. So, yeah, so this is 2 to the, let me write it this way. It's the size of the target space to the power, which is the size of A. So that's going to be a 2 for each element of A. So that's where the 8 comes from, right? So each element of A gets one choice for each of the target set. And this target set has 2 elements. Okay, and so now what about G? So that's all functions from A back to itself, A to A. Yeah, that's right. And so that one follows the same kind of logic. Now, instead of having 2 choices for each one, we have 3 choices for each element, right? So that one's, as you say, this is the size of A to the size of A. So 3 cubed, which is 27. Okay. And the last one is actually a little bit tricky also. It's like, this is the other tricky one. But does anyone know or can anyone figure out how many bijections there are from a set of size 3 to itself? Actually, let's see. I should have done it first. How about bijections from a set of size 2 to itself?
Two?
That's right. It can either go to itself or you can switch them, right? There are just 2 options if there are 2. And now, can anyone know what it is for a set of size 3?
6.
That's right. It is right. It is 6. And
because
yeah.
Because since A is a set with 3 elements, mm-hmm. and since we're being 1-to-1, meaning every output is unique, mm-hmm. so the first input has 3 options, but then the second input only has 2 options, and then the third input has only 1 option.
Exactly. That's exactly the right way to think about it. Yes. So you get 3 choices for the first one. But then, unlike an arbitrary function, it can't go but to the next one can't go to the same thing that first one went to. So it's only got 2 left because you got rid of one of them. One of them you used up. So then there are only 2 choices. And then the last one, there's just 1 choice. And you multiply this together, 3 times 2 times 1. I'll go. So that's 6. And it also goes by the name of this cardinality of A factorial is the name for that. Yes, and as it said in the chat box, exactly right. Right. Okay. So so that's some counting. All right, and also a good review, I think, of the different types of relations that we've studied so far. All right. So that's a bunch of different relations. Okay. Any questions about those? All right, then what I wanted to do next was talk about the theorems and results that we have for the notion of cardinality in general, which will include also the infinite one. So let me just mention a couple of facts, and then next time I guess we'll prove more of them. So some theorems. So first of all, this concept of equivalence, scrolling up and down, but this concept of equivalence of sets is an equivalence relation, okay, on the collection of sets. So that's this first theorem. I guess it's 5.1.1. And most of it I'll let you prove, but I'll just prove one piece of it. Equivalence is an equivalence relation. On the collection of sets. Okay, most of this will be a homework problem, but let me prove a part of it. So proof requires. So what do we have to check? If we want to see it's an equivalence relation.
You need to prove the three properties.
Exactly, the 3 properties. So we need the symmetry, reflexivity, and transitivity. And let's see, let me cover symmetry and I'll leave the rest. So check symmetry. So what do we need? So we need to show that if A is equivalent to B, then B is equivalent to A. Right, that's the goal. And what does that mean? That is, if there's a bijection from A to B, then there's a bijection the other way. And can anyone see how I might get one? So I'm assuming that I have such an F. Bijective function. Okay, any ideas? How might I get a function going the other direction that's also bijective?
You could take its inverse.
Exactly, that's right. And that's what we were doing last time, to try to build some bijections. And it's a very useful technique, and so I want to remind you of it here. So F inverse mapping B to A is also bijective, a bijective function. Okay. All right, so that's one of the three parts, and I'll leave the other two parts as well. All right, so that's one fact, is that we have this equivalence relation. Okay, let's see. So maybe the next thing I'll do is just draw a picture of the which sets are equivalent and which ones are not equivalent. And then next time I'll start in on trying to prove that. But I want to give kind of the overview of what we have for equivalences of and cardinalities. So the overview of which sets are equivalent, which are not. So we're going to have to prove some are equivalent and some are not equivalent. So we'll have to show there exist bijections and there do not exist bijections. Those are the two things we're going to have to prove. And here are the ones that we're going to end up with. So of cardinalities, and these are, let me call them small cardinalities. Okay, let's see, I'm gonna go through here. So we're gonna have some sets and we'll have their cardinalities. And so the empty set, as we saw before, so that has cardinality zero, right? And then we'll have things like the set N1, and that has cardinality one, et cetera, and two, and we can keep going here. N, which has cardinality N, okay? And we get that for each natural number. But then there's the natural numbers themselves, right? So that's another set, N here. And we call this cardinality of not, so that's another cardinality. And I claim that, so this overview, all columns are not equivalent, no two columns are equivalent. Okay, so something has seven elements, it does not also have three elements. Okay, so that's what we're saying. So that's not so surprising so far. The next thing is that N is different from the interval 0, 1. Okay, so this cardinality C is different. Okay, so that's yet another. So there we have at least two infinite cardinalities, and we're also going to get some more. Okay, but now there are a lot of things that are equivalent. let's see if I can write this sideways here. So we have equivalent. So this is equivalent to, for example, the whole number. So this is something that we proved. We can add that one element. It's still equivalent. We proved that last week. All right. So we found a bijection. It's also equivalent to the integers. So we can find the bijection there. Another thing we found was that that was equivalent to n cross n, which sounds even bigger, but we found a bijection from n to n cross n, right? So that's also equivalent. Another thing that turns out to be equivalent here, and I'm running out of space, is the positive rationals. And then we'll use that to prove that that's also equivalent to all the rationals, okay? So all these collections, even though the rationals seem like there are a whole lot more of them, they're in bijection, so they're equivalent. But they're not equivalent to the interval 0, 1. And in your homework, you'll see that this is equivalent, however, to any other interval. And it's also equivalent to the real numbers themselves, to all the real numbers. Just that one little interval is the same as all of the real numbers. And actually, I guess we also proved that this is also the same as if we add the endpoint. We did an example of that in class. Last week. So there are lots of these different sets that are actually equivalent, and we're going to have to try to prove that some of these are equivalent and some of the others are not. And the last thing that I want to claim here, that's another nice theorem, is that whenever I take a power set, it's different. Okay, so that's another theorem, is that this is different from the cardinality of the power set. And this is different from the cardinality of its power set. Okay. So it's kind of a funny world. You have these notions of some of these sets are equivalent and some are not. Okay, I have enough time, I think, to prove some of these, but that's where we're headed. Okay, are there any questions about what this means? So which sets are means for these things to be equivalent or not equivalent?
Wait, so what's C again?
C, that's the cardinal. So, yeah, sorry, I should have written that. These down here are the cardinal, the names for the cardinalities of the sets above them. And this is my set up here, A, and this is the name of the cardinality. Just a name for it. It stands for a continuum, but that's its name. Okay, so that's what we'd like to prove. Let me start, though, by doing the simplest part of this, and then we'll sort of build our way up. So the first thing I want to do is to show that these are all actually different cardinalities. Okay, that's not very surprising. You don't expect them to have both 6 and 7 elements. But let's try to prove that, okay? So that's the first thing to prove here. So if we have n is, r is less than n, then, and the way I'm gonna show that it's, that there's no bijection is by proving the strongest. Well, let me just write it this way. Then n sub r is not equivalent to n sub n. Okay. So the proof strategy is going to be the following. So to prove that it's not equivalent, I need to show that there's no bijection. But we know that you can do better, right? If I have, 5 elements and I have just 3 elements, there's no way to get even an injective map from here to here, right? Not much less bijective. So let's just write it. Let's just try to prove that. Proof strategy. Show that so there is no map n to nr, which is injective. Okay, of course, if it's not injective, it's not both injective and something else, so it's not bijective. Okay, so that's logically sufficient. That's all we'll have to do. All right, and the plan for doing that is to induct. Okay. All right, and so how would we use induction? So if we're going to use induction, what do we need? We need a sequence of propositions, P sub N, right? And then we have to show that P sub, if we assume all the lower ones, then we get P sub N. So what would P of N be? Any ideas for what that could be?
Maybe show that there's no injection for n natural numbers and then n plus one natural numbers.
I see. Oh, right. To the next one down. That's certainly one approach. The one that I'm going to do is kind of like the universal version of the other version of that. So I'm going to say that there's no map from n to anything smaller. Okay, instead of just one smaller. Either one would probably work, but that's the one that I'm going to take. But you need something for each n. The confusing thing, of course, is there are two numbers here, r and n, right? And so you have to figure out what to do with that r. And so the way that I'm going to do it is quantify over all the r's. With the proposition that for every r less than n, there does not exist f mapping n to n r, which is injective. Okay, so that's one. So that's a So again, the quantifiers, right? So for every R, there's no R. Okay, and so let's see. So maybe we can just start trying to prove this with the base step. So what would be a good base step? So what is actually, let me do two possible base steps. It could take n equals one and n equals two. Let me just work out both of those, and then we'll be out of time, and I'll do the inductive step next time. So possible base steps. They both work, but one I think is shorter to write, and the other is more, and the other is less confusing. So, possible base steps for the induction. Okay, so what does P1 mean? So if I just copy what it says here, that for all r less than n, for this to make sense, that r can only be zero. So means that there is no injective map from n1, which is just a singleton one, to n0, which is the empty set. And is that true? Are there any injective maps from the set one to the empty set? That's right. There are no such maps, and therefore it's true. So, which is true, since there are no such maps. Right, the only set that we have a map to the empty set is the empty set itself, right? Because otherwise there's no value that you can take the one to. That's short, but less, but I think more confusing. So let's do the less confusing one. Let's start at two. P2. So what does P2 mean?
There's no injection map from one to two, or
from two. one, two, right? And then, what does it map to?
1.
Mm-hmm. Or empty set. Right, because we can take r equals 1 and r equals 2. So this is the case. So the first one is r equals 1, and second one is r equals 0. Right, so those are the two numbers that are smaller than 2. Okay, analyses, and that we can also check. So what are the maps from 1, 2 to 1? So only one of them, right? So, and it's not injective. And there are no maps to from 1, 2 to the empty set. That's good. Only the empty set maps to the empty set. Okay, so the second one is, I think, maybe, anyway, you can use either one as your base step. Okay, any questions about the base step or what we're trying to prove? I'll prove it next time by induction. Okay, and so then the plan for the rest of the week is, mostly for Wednesday, is to try to finish that off. So that'll show that all of these are different, these here. And then I also want to show that these are different. And then show that these are the same, and these are the same, and then finally show that these are different. So that's what's left to prove. So I'll do that next. Okay, we'll turn off the recording and stick around.